Good morning. 9:11 on a cool morning, chilly, 28 degrees, January 17th, a Wednesday. Wednesday? Thursday. Trash day, it's Thursday. Yeah, hi. I'm walking. It's morning. A little later than I planned because I got a bit sidetracked this morning with some business. But yeah, I'm out, I'm walking. Oh, I don't know what I'm thinking about today. I'm not really thinking about too much, to be honest. I'm just sort of walking. Right, 18-minute mile. Given how treacherous it is underfoot, that's pretty good speed. The problem is that yesterday afternoon, it got up to the middle 40s. So everything melted, and what was next to a sidewalk ran over the sidewalk and then froze. So, like, here's a place right here where there's a sheet of ice across what would normally be dry concrete. That'll probably clear up mostly today. Most of it melted yesterday. At least, I won't say most of it, a lot of it melted yesterday. More will probably melt today. It's coming up. They were calling for 56 today, earlier in the week. I don't know if that's going to come true or not, but it could. Yeah. So yesterday was a work day. I got some work done. I got some of the copy edits. I had to start over with full share. And I got a lot of the copy edits taken care of yesterday. I still have a few left to go, and then I have to go through and read it again and make sure that I've got all the stuff that I think I've got fixed. So, yeah, another full day today. Should see the worst of it done. Also found out that, cosine next weekend. Next Friday. Week from tomorrow. Be heading up to the Springs, which should make for a pleasant weekend. It won't make for a lot of audio, but it should make for a pleasant weekend. Ice, baby. Yeah, a lot of ice. So this morning I'm sort of hobbling along. I can get a good stride going where the sidewalk is well lit and I can see whether or not there's ice on it. Otherwise I find myself sort of hobbling along like a little old man, which is not too surprising given that by most people's estimations I am a little old man. My wife asked me the other day why it is that we are so young when compared to other people of our chronology. And I don't know that generalization is true. I'll be frank, I don't know a lot of 60-year-olds, but I do know a lot of people who are in their late 50s. And all the people that I know, of course, in their late 50s are mostly through new media, through podcasting. So, technology keeps us young. I think active mind is the answer. And we both have very active minds. I could stand to have mine be a little more active, but that's okay. One of the things that my therapist is working with me on is self-directed empathy, which is another way of saying give yourself a break. And it sort of feeds into the idea that I've had and held for a long time, which is that we are, each of us, our own harshest critics. And those that aren't should be harsher. And that's the problem. It's like, where is the line? And the answer is you can't really tell. I made a blog post somewhere about quality. Somebody was saying something about how they wanted to do is put out a work that was of high quality. And the problem is, I don't think an author, or any artist really, gets to say that. I don't think they get to put the label of quality on it. I think they can look at it from the perspective of, did it do what I was trying to do? And the best you could come up for is, or come up with is, I think so. Because the reality is that the audience is the one who will determine whether or not it's quality. A lot of people really like Quarter Share. And Quarter Share, when I put it out, when I wrote it, did what I wanted it to do. Was it quality? Maybe. In 100 years we'll know. I won't care by then. The copyright will have expired. So is it quality? I don't know. Does quality necessarily carry with it this idea of longevity? In 100 years I'll know. So, really? Talk about arrogant. So is it quality? I don't think we really get to say. I really don't. I think as an author, as an artist, all I can do is say, all right, here's a story that I told, and I'm happy with the way that it came up. And the next one is going to be better. Now the challenge with the next one is going to be better is, how do you know it's better if you don't get to say what's wrong with the first one? I think part of the answer to that is whether or not it actually works for you in every layer, in every level. One of the things is, the Quarter Share is a really simple story. It's a very simple story about a very simple guy in a very simple circumstance. Owner Share is a much more complex story. About a guy who's much more complex in an environment that is considerably more nuanced than Quarter Share. In part, I was able to make it more nuanced because I was able to have the character be aware of more nuance. I was able to have him develop as a person. Same thing is true with Tanith Fairport. The Tanith Fairport Adventures, the very first book, Ravenwood, is still quite highly nuanced because she's an older, more experienced individual. It was not unusual for her to have some of the opinions that she had. It was a little unusual for the early Ishmael Wong. I heard a lot of people say he was way too old for his years. And yeah, that's probably true. But the reality is that his background, and I keep hanging a lantern on it every single time I come by it, his background is from having lived with his mother, who was not only an unusual individual, but a very open individual when it came to sharing her own feelings with her son. And that's, I'm sure, not typical. It's also not... it's not something that a lot of people have experience with, so the idea that this experience might have colored him in ways that are not the usual testosterone-poisoned youth is perhaps not surprising. And perhaps it didn't do it as well as I think I did, because I don't get to say. Now, Bjorn Gunderson, the guy, the captain, who becomes Odin One-Eye, at Odin's outpost. Bjorn Gunderson is another character that I went back and looked at yesterday because he's a really interesting guy. And he's what Ishmael Wong would have been in another lifetime, in a different circumstance, I think, He's an older, more grizzled, perhaps more bitter, a bit more jaded. Jaded, I think, is the right word. Be interesting to see how that saga turns out. Oh, I spent some time on EVE Online yesterday looking for and finding Ishmael Horatio Huang as a character who has apparently never done anything since he logged in because he's still a member of the Newbie Corp and has never been anything else. And another guy named Ishmael Wong who's done some things, but I don't know if he's active. I also found Diurnia Salvage and Cargo, which I thought was interesting, and also Diurnia Industry. It was founded by Christine Maloney and his CEO is currently Gretchen Gretchen Gerhardt. And it's actually spelled right, Gerhardt, not Gerhardt, which is what a lot of people spell it. So I'm fascinated by the fact that Diurnia Industries is out there. And now I want to start a character that has an appropriate name so that I can play along. Somebody started Nathan Lowell as well. I thought that was amusing. I wonder how I get control of these old characters that are somewhat obsolete. I should write to CCP and see if there's a way to claim a character name. Because I really would like to have Ishmael Horatio Huang. I looked for some of the others, and I found a surprising number. Benjamin Maxwell, for example, and Frederica de Groot was there. I didn't find some, and I'm not going to say which ones, because if I go in tomorrow and find it, they're there. I'll be pissed. I'm also playing with the idea that he's going to, because I know Ishmael is going into the dark underbelly, and he's going to go by way of Bjorn Gunderson. So I'm sort of toying with the idea of starting Bjorn Gunderson up. So that by the time we do more stories from the deep dark, I'll be able to have Bjorn. I'm trying to think of who else he might run into. He's certainly going to run into some of his old friends when he goes back to the academy, Ishmael is, when he goes back to the academy and meets up with Sifu Numar again. Oh, I didn't hit the monk pole. Oh my god. I'm not going back. If for one thing, it's way too far back there. I'm not going back to repeat it. So, I guess I'm sort of amused and surprised by how many people, the reach that these stories have had. And yeah, granted, it's not a lot of people, but there are people who know my work. I mean, they have to know my work, or they wouldn't know to have Diurnia Industries and have it be run by Christine Maloney, who actually has a little backstory in her bio about how her father, Jeff Maloney, who started the business, was killed. And she kept it in story, in character, in Eve by having him killed by Amarian slavers. But that's, you know, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. So I'm really quite amused. Really quite interested. We'll have to see what comes of it, if anything. I wonder if I could claim it as a tax deduction if I started a character to promote the works that are going to be written this coming year. Speaking of which, I better write some. I still owe Sigler that story, and he wants it next month, which is like 2 weeks from now. I have to check with A. Kovacs and make sure that it's the end of February and not the beginning of February, in which case I'm screwed. I also hope that she's actually not expecting to see it until March, because that would be unfortunate if she was actually counting on a deadline. We'll get it done. That's the thing about this business, is it? I tend to get it done. The thing about Cosine is that I don't have any books to take down. I have just a few leftover paperbacks with Ryden covers on them. I suppose I could take them down and offer them as collector's editions, because they'll never be offered in paper again. Could order a half dozen off from Amazon. I never did release the new cover of Ravenwood, so all I have is a galley proof. I'd probably take that down and give it to the conference organizer. Mem Mormon is such a sweetheart, and she does such a great job with this convention. S.M. Sterling is the guest of honor, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting S.M. Sterling. I keep referring to S.M. Sterling as a man, him, but I'm not sure if it really is. I never looked it up, and a lot of women use initials to write science fiction because, of course, men don't read science fiction written by women, so S.M. Sterling could very easily be a woman. I'd still read it. It's great work. Oh, I'm trying to think of what... It's got two universes. It's the same universe, really. Yeah. Came up with this sort of singularity idea that is very much related to the notion that Werner Vinge has, Fire Upon the Deep, in that series, where there is a slowing, where some technology that used to work doesn't work anymore because of an expanding level of entropy. And a variation across the universe as to what kinds of reactions are possible. And in this universe by Sterling, there's this notion that this event happened, the singularity occurred, where a part of it was that Nantucket and its environment was swapped, or at least pushed back, a la David Weber, John Ringo's, Jerry Pornell either. The Ring of Fire series. Anyway, Nantucket gets sent back in time, and the Coast Guard guys are the only ones who have a ship that is ocean-worthy in the whole world, except for these other guys who are, you know, neophyte sailors, sailing sailors. But the Coast Guard ship is the sailing vessel, so it's interesting. But there's this idea that a lot of technology that used to work doesn't anymore in the modern world. So internal combustion doesn't work anymore. Steam is okay, but internal combustion doesn't work anymore. Gunpowder, I think, doesn't work anymore. So guns are useless. And that means bombs are useless. Yeah, 19 minutes. I slowed down. Anyway, I'm back. tomorrow's another day, with any luck at all. I'll talk to you then.